A Modern Family, written by Helga Flatland and read by Nina Indis.
When Liv, Ellen and Håkon, along with their partners and children, arrive in Rome to celebrate their father's 70th birthday, a quiet earthquake occurs. Their parents have decided to divorce. Shocked and disbelieving, the siblings try to come to terms with their parents' decision as it echoes through the homes they have built for themselves and forces them to reconstruct the shared narrative of their childhood and family history. A bittersweet novel of regret, relationships, and rare psychological insights. A Modern Family encourages us to look at the people closest to us a little more carefully and ultimately reveals that it's never too late for change. Liv. The Alpine peaks resemble shark's teeth jutting upwards through the dense layer of cloud that enshrouds central Europe, as if the creature's jaws are eternally prepared to clamp down. The mountaintops force the wind in various directions, pulling at the plane from all angles, and we're so small here. All in a row, the backs of the heads in front of me shudder in unison. More than half the population on the ground below us believes it's okay to raise a hand to their children, I think to myself, and for a moment my eyes seek out my own children. But they're hidden from view, seated four rows in front of me. Beside them, Olaf rests his head against the cabin wall. In front of him, I spy Ellen's blonde hair, and between the seats, I can see that Mum is sleeping, her head resting on Ellen's shoulder. Dad wanders along the aisle between the rows of seats, wearing his new Bose headphones around his neck. Did he wear them to the toilet? I feel a warm flicker of affection and smile at him, but I fail to catch his eye. He sits down beside Håkon, and I catch only glimpses of Dad's face, his high cheekbones, and the tip of his nose, which has a faint blue hue about it from the glow of the laptop in front of him. They could be anyone. We could be anyone. It's raining in Rome. Everyone is prepared for it. We've been checking the forecast every day for the past 3 weeks, and we've discussed it on the phone and via text message and in our family Facebook group, reassuring ourselves that it doesn't matter, that it's April, and April brings unpredictable weather. Plus, it's bound to be warmer than it is in Norway, and we're not going for the weather anyway. Even so, the mood at Gardermoen Airport, which was bathed in spring sunshine and close to a balmy 20 degrees Celsius, was noticeably better than it is at Fiumicino Airport, where it is 13 degrees Celsius and raining. The mood may also have something to do with a sense of anticlimax, an acknowledgement that the tension and goodwill with which we greeted one another at Gardermoen has dwindled over the course of the flight. The first leg now over and done with, everybody's shoulders have relaxed ever so slightly. Having the others here, even at the airport, makes me feel intruded upon. I try to catch Olaf's eye, to seek some confirmation that he feels the same. Rome and all that surrounds it, everything that belongs to it, is ours. Walking through the arrivals hall feels different this time. I don't exhale in the same way I do when Olaf and I are here by ourselves. I don't feel that same frisson of excitement. But Olaf is busy buying train tickets for everyone. And I lament my own ingratitude, my self-absorption. I make up for it by picking up Hedda, kissing her nose, and asking if the plane's shaking scared her. She squirms free, no doubt hyper after munching her way through the biscuits and chocolate that Olaf wasn't supposed to deploy in anything other than an absolute emergency. We're due to spend 2 days in Rome before leaving for Olaf's brother's house, which is located in a small town on the coast. 2 days is both far too brief and far too long a stay, I think to myself for the first time, and I see both my own little family, the one I've created with Olaf, and the other one that I've come from, with new eyes. Dad turns 70 in 4 days' time.